today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
Glory to God. Come on, help me. Rebuke the devil. Don't rebuke me. Rebuke the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and hexes and rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We come against you in the name of Jesus, and you will not stop the people of God from migrating to the tent of restoration. Clap your hands, all ye people. We're driving back the hexer, necromancy, all kinds of evil spirits. I come against you in the name of Jesus.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Don't Hesitate, It's Time to Move. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Genesis chapter 24, verses 54 through 58.
And the Bible says in verse 57, let's call the girl and ask her about it. So they call Rebekah and ask her, will you go with this man? Look at her reply, I will go. In the 61st verse of this chapter, then Rebekah and her maids got ready and mounted their camels, their means of transportation, and went back with the man that they just met, or the servant of Abraham. And so the servant took Rebekah and left. She left her father, she left her mother, she left her kin people, and went with the man that she just met to take her, he's taken her to a man that she never met, which will become her husband. I want you all to see this, how faith works. How faith works. When God says time to move, stop trying to negotiate. We got to have, Lord, I will go in our hearts. Lord, I will surrender to you when it's time to move, versus I got to understand everything before I move. I like verse 62. Glory to God. Now Isaac had come from Beer Lahairoi. That's how it's pronounced. Beer Lahairoi, for he was living in the Negev. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Did he see a girl? No, he saw camels approaching. I want to show you something. Verse 64, Rebekah also looked up. She's coming from the other direction. What does she see? What does she see? She saw clearly Isaac. When I want you to see this, Isaac looks up and he saw camels coming. But when she look up, she see a man. Let me tell you something. When you start moving toward your purpose and stop trying to figure things out, you will see the semblance of God more clearly than you would if you just stood still waiting on somebody to tell you what's about to happen next. As you move forward, you would see what you're moving toward more clearly as you move forward. Notice it's the same distance. I personally believe that Isaac had an eye problem, that he was losing his sight. Years later, you see him when he's approached by Jacob to take his brother's blessing, he can't see. He has to feel his arms. He said, even though you're speaking to me, doesn't sound like Esau. It sounds like Isaac. He lost his sight. It sounds like Jacob. He had lost his sight along the way. I believe you're seeing a deterioration of that even in the text. Because he saw camels. He didn't see a woman. But she saw clearly Isaac. It's very clear in the scripture. Look at the words. She got down from her camels. In other words, when she saw her destiny, she stopped playing with it. She humbled herself like a Zacchaeus. I don't need to be riding and transporting anymore. I don't need to be profiling, styling. I need to stop right here and get down. Verse 65, and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? He said, it's my master. The servant answered. So she took her veil and covered her face, which means she went to a place of innocence. Look at verse 66. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac then grabs Rebekah by the hand. He took her into the tent of his mother, Sarah. And he married Rebekah. Look at this. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. In other words, there was something about this in the tent that took his heart from a wandering place of no comfort to where he could relax. And he didn't grieve over not having his mother with him any longer. He settled down. His sight is leaving him. His mother was very old. And then she died. And it took this union inside of the tent for him to understand and to know, to be comforted from some stuff that he couldn't see or even understand or explain. And he didn't have to search in his heart any longer. What does this have to do with our message today? I believe the Lord told me to erect a tabernacle, a tent in the spirit for those who need to meet with Jesus. For those of you that are wondering, for those of you that are losing vision, for those of you that don't have a pedigree that you can go back to, you're in a moment. God called you. You were having a good time, but God called you. You were going out, but God called you. You wanted to hang out, but God called you, and you made a decision to shift. Based on faith, you made a decision. God told me to erect in the spirit a tabernacle of restoration. As we pour oil today, people are going to find their destiny in a tent of restoration. See yourself moving from the Negev. See yourself moving from distant lands. See yourself in the spirit having an encounter with your future. But it starts with you taking steps by faith toward this place called tent of restoration, tabernacle of rest. And I decree and declare you will be comforted from your sorrows. You will be comforted from the stuff that has lingered in your life. You'll be comforted from the stuff, the loss that you have and the grief that you're enduring. You will be comforted from those issues. I'm not saying everything is going to be okay and you'll never have a stumble. You'll never have a problem. You'll never have an issue. But what I am saying is that restoration starts today. And I believe I'm moved by the Spirit. I had a long day yesterday. A funeral and ministered to a family. Was grieving over the fact that I couldn't make it to two other funerals, one especially with Christine Mason, the mother of John Mason, who was a member here. We grew up together, and I couldn't be there. It really bothered me, and then I had to get ready for a marriage enrichment service and then to prepare for two services today. And all of a sudden, this feeling, this overwhelming feeling of tiredness just came over me. And everyone was out, and Nick came in the office, and I said, man, I don't know what this is. I just feel tired. I said, let me take a moment of rest. And I heard him say, Bishop is resting, and he left. And all of a sudden, if I felt like someone took a pin and stuck me under the bottom of my left foot, and it woke me up. So I was like, wow, what was that? I don't like pins and needles sticking under my foot. I don't like witchcraft either, because I ain't no doll that y'all be. I don't know if I got any witches up in here. You better put your needles up. I'm telling you now, man, I'm coming at it. I'm going to go to the, I was like, Lord, I'm going to the throne. If there's any witches that got a problem with me, blow them up. I'm telling you right now, I need to move forward. I don't need that foolishness in my life. Man, if you got a spell you're trying to cast on me, I'm going to send it back to your house. I'm telling you right now. I've been through this stuff, man. I'm telling you right now. Y'all don't think witchcraft and stuff is real. And I'm not trying to give the devil no playtime, but I'm telling you it is real. And the enemy sends spells to mess people's minds up. But the devil is a liar. I had to say it that way. The devil is a liar. And we coming against the devil in the blood of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So put your dolls up now and your needles. I'm saying it to anybody sending a spell this way. We got a spell breaker anointing. I said we have a spell breaker's anointing. And I decree every spell, every hex, every demon, every devil, glory to God, every witch and warlock that's sitting there turning your little brew, trying to serve some soup to the people of God. I come against it in the name of Jesus. Don't be laying down no stuff for me to stumble over. I don't want to hear it. Don't send nothing in the mail. I don't believe in it. I'm telling you right now, I cast it down in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Come on, help me. Rebuke the devil. Don't rebuke me. Rebuke the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and hexes and rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places. We come against you in the name of Jesus, and you will not stop the people of God from migrating to the tent of restoration. Clap your hands, all ye people. We're driving back the hexer. Necromancy, all kinds of evil spirits. I come against you in the name of Jesus, coming to disrupt relationship, to mess up minds, to stop people from speaking. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Oh my God. Come on, be free. Say it with me, be free. Oh my God. Even over the baby, be free. Over our children. Let me tell you something about the devil. They don't like to leave regions. Entreat us not to leave the region, they say. The demoniac, the spirit, the legions that's in the man when Jesus come to the tomb. Entreat us not to leave the region. There's a herd of pigs over there. Let us go in. These disembodied spirits want to be inside of something. And if you got your open, your heart is open to everything, you may be susceptible to these demon spirits wanting to linger in your life. But the Lord told me to erect a tabernacle, glory to God, in the spirit. And I want you all to see it. There's a tent that's being erected. And if you can migrate to the tent, glory to God. If you can get under the tent, glory to God. If you can move, hallelujah, when the spirit is grabbing you by the hand and saying it's time to go. I don't understand everything, Lord. I don't have a clue about what I'm going to do. But if you say it's time to move, I'm going to take you by the hand and let you guide me to my predetermined spot. And when I get there, I'm not going to have a bad attitude. I'm going to look and see, hallelujah, who is this man? How about it's the next move of the spirit, your next dimension? Glory to God. So I felt a needle in the bottom of my foot and almost started moving, but the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm waking you up. And I came in and he started speaking to me about anointing the oil and making sure we cover our church. So we're going to be having some oil slapping moments today. I know you came in your nice, I saw the praise team and the Africans, but we slapping some oil today. That man putting his oil in them. That's right. Get it in there. If you got your oil, you better bring it up here now. You're not disturbing me. Put it on the altar. Glory to God. Don't leave the church to go and get it, because we're going to have some at 11. But those of you that own at home, you should be in the house of God. You better stop by Winn-Dixie. pure olive oil. Put your name on it. Listen, I felt like I slept for an hour. When I came out, I asked Donna, I said, how long has it been since Nick is gone? She said, 10 minutes. I was out for 10 minutes, and it felt like an hour. That's why I know God used that to help me. I was struggling. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? It's good, Greg. What do you want me to do? He says, I want you to rest. I want you to minister on Sabbath. God had to do some things to get Isaac to a place of rest. He had to bring somebody from a distant land. He dimmed his eye. Hallelujah. What do you mean he dimmed his eye? Well, his mother was 80 when he was born. I want you to think about that. And she nurtured him. This is her only child. So you know she poured herself into him. She pulled him close to her heart. And so he had very little time with her as an adolescent. She was getting older. She couldn't do everything, but she pulled him close, and all of a sudden she's taken away. He may have felt like it was his fault that she's taken away. Maybe he was overnurtured and underdeveloped. And God had to take her away so he can start growing. He was tantalized by his older brother Ishmael. When Ishmael was 13 when he was born. And so think about a 13-year-old looking at a promise. Everybody's saying, you're the promise. You're the one that's going to inherit everything. He develops a disdain for him. Sarah saw him flicking him upside the head one time. Slapping him. Bam. Because the Bible says Ishmael, please don't name your kids Ishmael, was a wild ass of a man. I said wild ass. No boundaries. Slapping the boy upside the head. He didn't care. When he was 13 years old, he was circumcised. Not when he was a little boy. So he's living in a house of covenant, but he don't have the mark. He's in the church, but he don't know how to unveil his soul. He still got a hood on from the world. He's insensitive to the things of God. Won't even lift up his hands when it's time because it's manly. It's not manly. Still got a reflection of the world in him. He had not totally surrendered to God. He's got the lingo, but he doesn't have the mark of covenant in him. He hasn't bled yet. He hasn't gone through the pain of covenant. He doesn't understand it. He's not yielded to God. Yet resources are coming. He's making it in the world. He's growing up in the world. He's got stuff happening. Everybody else is talking about how powerful he is. And when you look at Ishmael in the Middle East, he has nations. And that little boy Isaac only have one company, one little piece of land next to Gaza. But he's got all of those nations that came out of his loins, just like God said it would happen, with all of the oil and all of the resources. Yet no mark of covenant. Don't know who our God is. Don't tell me they don't know their God. I'm talking about our God. And I want to be bold when I speak here because it's important. The young man Isaac had to deal with all of that, yet not comprehending. So he grows up, his mother dies, his father remarries. Check it out, you'll see it. He remarries. Sometimes the new wife don't like the old children. I'll just preach myself happy. You can't be bringing everybody in your house thinking it's going to be cool. It just don't work that way. There had to be some grace and mercy. And I believe something happened to the man. After his father dies, he did. Father dug wells. The Philistines come over. The Amalekites come over and refill his wells with sand.
Everything that should be pumping for him is drying up. I thought you say God was going to do this, and I thought you say God was going to do that. And then his father says that God just told him to take his son to Mount Moriah and offer him. I'm looking at the psychology of the boy. What do you mean, sacrifice me? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he takes wood and he allows it to be placed on his shoulder as his father marches him up to Mount Moriah, not knowing that he's a replica of Jesus carrying a cross. God brings him down. He still doesn't understand it. He's not known for his intellect. He's just a man that's chosen. And here in this wonderful book of Genesis 24, God starts dealing with his heart. Under a tent that his mother erected, the Bible says he took Rebekah into his mother's tent, Sarah's tent. Maybe there was a spice there that he remembered. Maybe it was a pillow that he laid on. But he felt comfortable. It doesn't even say he had his own. God has to shake him from this dependency on his mother. And the scripture says that he took Rebekah into his mother's tent. She became his wife there. He went into covenant there. And then he loved her. He fell in love with Rebekah. And he was comforted. In other words, he wasn't looking outside of the tent for comfort. He wasn't looking outside of that relationship for comfort. Something happened in the tent that settled his heart. And something is going to happen in the tent of restoration today. Amen. Amen. I said something is going to happen. And I'm speaking by faith. I have never preached on this before in my life. I've never seen it. But he spoke to me. As I came up, a needle is sticking in the bottom of my left foot to wake me up. And I thought I'd slept an hour, and it was 10 minutes. And some of you are going to step into a Sabbath rest to where in 10 minutes you're going to recover an hour's worth of waste. Glory to God. In a fraction of the time, he's going to restore your strength. Glory, hallelujah. In a fraction of the time, he's going to restore your resolve and your vision. As though he saw camels when Rebekah is coming, she saw clearly a man. As they joined together, his sight is restored, not in himself, but in his wife. In other words, she can see clearly what he couldn't. What is that? Rebekah said, it is a camel. So what is that? That's the devil. And when you don't have vision, grab somebody that does and hold on to their coattail. Amen. Instead of wandering around somewhere talking about I can't see, grab somebody that can and let them lead you into higher heights and deeper depths. And he was comforted from his mother's death. I believe his mother, Sarah, knew he was losing his sight and he would depend on her. And Rebekah filled that slot. We get overwhelmed, tired, exhausted. We need rest. Say, I need some rest. The body and the soul needs rest. Because rest allows essential repairs, rejuvenation, and restoration to take place in the physical, also in the mental. So when you rest, there is a rejuvenation, a restoration that takes place both physically and mentally. Some of us may feel like we're resting physically, but mentally we're stressed out. It also affects our spirit. Our energy level is low. We have to enable our vision to be restored. Our functionality must be restored. We got to give the body a time and a moment to heal. And when we rest, muscles heal, tissues heal. We replenish resources when we rest. The liver has a chance to do its job. It's not overloaded. And for those of us that are secret closet alcoholics, give your liver some rest. I'll say it on this side. I couldn't get no help on that one. If you are a closet alcoholic and you're drinking a lot, I'm asking you to give your liver some rest. Even if you don't want to hear the Lord, your liver is saying, please stop it. I can't handle the poison. You're causing me to stumble.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, don't hesitate, it's time to move. Visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
February is American Heart Month, a great time for everyone to focus on cardiovascular health. Knowing your risk factors is an essential part of keeping your heart healthy. Take charge of your health by checking your blood pressure and cholesterol levels and gaining other important heart health education from a medical professional. The 2025 Black History Month theme, African Americans and Labor, focuses on the various and profound ways that work and working of all kinds, free and unfree, skilled and unskilled, vocational and voluntary, intersect with the collective experiences of Black people. This month-long observation is an opportunity to understand Black histories going beyond stories of racism and slavery to spotlight Black achievement.
Tuesday, February 25th will mark the 13th bishopric anniversary of our beloved pastor, Merton Clark. Truth Nation, show the bishop some love online at truthrevealed.org or the Truth Reveal mobile app. Cash App is also available at Truth Reveal 2. Checks be payable to Truth Revealed and bishopric anniversary should be indicated on the memo line.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
The WWBC 1510 AM radio, the Christian voice of Brevard, has an official Facebook page. Check it out, like our posts, and leave a comment and follow us as well on WWBC 1510 AM radio.